CyberSec and AI Connected is the essential virtual event for AI, machine learning, and cybersecurity experts. Taking place on October the 8th, 2020, the conference examines critical issues around AI for privacy and cybersecurity. This year's keynote speakers are Roger Dingledine, director and co-founder of the Tor Project, and Garry Kasparov, Chess Grandmaster and Avast Security Ambassador. As an online event, you can join from wherever you are in the world. Find out how to be part of it at cybersecai.com. To talk about this year's theme and lineup, we are chatting here today with Michal Piekocek, CTO at Avast and AI professor at Czech Technical University in Prague. Michal, thanks for joining us. The agenda and speakers have been unveiled for CyberSec and AI Connected this October. Can you talk us through some of the names lined up to talk and the breadth and scale of what they'll be discussing?
Yes, you know, after the success of the last year edition, we were like really super excited about people wanted to be part of the event. So we are very happy that we will have great people with us. Like one example is Hani Farid, who is a computer science professor at UC Berkeley. He is known for his work with deepfakes, and he'll be speaking about how deepfakes are created, weaponized, and detected. So we also will be having Carmela Troncoso, who is a professor at EPFR in Switzerland, and she'll be speaking to us about how to build a privacy-preserving contact tracing. And this is like very actual in the time of COVID-19. So one of the stars of our event will be Roger Dingledine. I'm sure that many of you know Roger. He is one of the co-founders and currently a director of the Tor project. And he'll be speaking about how we can surf web securely and privately using Tor, which has been around actually for quite some time. So we will have Garry Kasparov, who is a chess grandmaster, and he is an Avast security ambassador. And he'll be fireside chatting with Clive Thompson, who is a journalist in Wired. And they'll be discussing the concept of the cyber rights in the times of crisis. Very exciting. We will also have Lorenzo Cavallero, who is coming to us from King's College in London. He'll be speaking about adversarial machine learning in cybersecurity. And we will also have William Lisi, who is a senior research scientist in Avast and a professor at Czech Technical University. And he'll be comparing his experience in building the best world poker bot who was able to play better than human players and comparing a poker playing with an interaction between the cyber criminals and cyber defenders.
This year, the main conference track is preceded and followed by a series of in-depth workshops featuring experts from the world of academia and industry. What will delegates be able to get from being part of these sessions?
This part of the conference, the workshop part, is very important to us because it provides a high-quality technical academic research content that has been put together as a result of our public call. You know, we have made a public call inviting scientists, PhD students, professors to submit the presentations. So we have a program committee who did hard work and they selected the best submissions. And you know, while the main conference features mainly keynotes from visionaries, the workshop will provide space to experts and researchers to speak about new methods they have developed, tested new approaches, and these systems that they have built. Very practical.
This year's conference theme is around data and privacy in AI and cybersecurity. Have you any thoughts on recent developments in this area and what we can expect to see in the near future?
We in Avast, we see internet privacy as one of the fundamental citizens' rights and as such being part of a greater cybersecurity problem. We think that providing the internet users with security and privacy is important. And because of that, it has been a mission for Avast for long. So because of the concept of user privacy is evolving constantly, both from the user expectation perspectives, from the technology perspectives, from the regulators and compliance perspectives, but also from the perspective of attackers, we kind of believe that it's very topical. And this is why we brought leading experts in privacy to the AI CyberSec to debate those changes and trends in the years to come.
It's fair to say that with COVID-19, opportunities for collaboration and making new contacts among those working and researching in AI security and machine learning have been reduced. How much can events like CyberSec and AI help to bring people together in these communities to work together and share ideas?
Originally, when we planned for AI CyberSec, it was supposed to be a conference because we started to plan for the event in 2019. Mm-hmm. However, in the midst of the crisis, like in like May time, we felt that by fall, things will be getting close to normal. So we have designed the concept of a hybrid event where we would be connecting like spots of people who would be meeting physically and connecting them to kind of 500 people size of an event. But you know, as we see, you know, we are not getting away from the problem as quickly as we thought, which is why we opted for fully virtual, even though the original idea was much more innovative. It was the idea of a hybrid meeting. But kind of generally, it is early to evaluate the impact of the COVID-19 on the research creativity and the output that the scientists, technologists, and researchers are producing in this disconnected environment. So we definitely miss and will be missing the opportunity of people to meet in the coffee break environments and to chat and to debate. This is a big miss. On the other hand, being able to consume or deliver high quality technical presentation or participating in a structured debate and argumentation has been little affected because of the technology and concept of the remote meetings that you know, we or are currently living through these days. So events like AI CyberSec demonstrates that our approach allows high quality meetings and knowledge exchange and knowledge transfer. And I'm sure that we will see many of similar meetings even in times beyond pandemics. So, you know, when I put my scientist hat on, I would say that besides the coffee breaks, which is the biggest blow to our interaction, mm-hmm. we will also see another problem for the computer science researchers, and this is the inability to carry out research visits and sabbatical. Research visits and sabbatical are very important, where you know, their people work shoulder to shoulder, and through this collaboration, they'll help increase a diversity of thinking. And you know, this piece is missing during the pandemics, it can be hardly compensated by remote collaboration. So I hope we'll be out of the woods soon and we'll be able to do the research visits.
Just thinking about what you've just said then, obviously the physical meeting up in research is a big loss, but do you have some optimism that people are having to learn to work a different way now? And when the virus hopefully comes to an end and they can also come back together, they've actually got a few more skills and collaboration as well, that in the long run, it could actually help people work different ways.
Yeah, this is for certain. You know, I'm a big believer in the concept of hybrid meetings. And your meetings where people will be meeting physically, but can also connect and have good quality experience with the remote participation will facilitate more efficient meetings, will increase diversity around the table, will reduce carbon footprint, and will kind of make people free to choose where they want to go, what they want to do during the meetings, how they want to participate. So actually, I think that, you know, post-pandemics, we will do a lot of hybrid meetings.
And so another impact of the pandemic has been people working from home and governments having to, you know, work out of their offices. So the whole way we work around the world has changed. What's been the impact on that so far from an AI security and privacy standpoint? Because, for example, when I work from home or the average person works from home, or the average business, they don't have the same setup they would have in their offices. So what kind of changes are you seeing from an AI and security viewpoint?
Before I give you an answer, I just make like one high-level comment on work from home. I know that for many people, this is unpleasant, complicated. They don't have enough space and they would much rather to work from office. But you know, I would like to say that you know, work from home is very important for us because it's one of the vaccines against impacts of the pandemic. Working from home lets many people to keep their jobs in a situation where it's impossible to congregate at the workplace. Mm-hmm. So work from home in a way elevates our freedom and independence on those restrictions, right? So yeah. Imagine that such an event would happen 50 years ago. So people would just stop working and you know, the damage on the people's lives and the society would be much greater. I only regret that work from home is not available to the most vulnerable people, people with low paying hourly jobs. Mm-hmm. So from the technology perspective, you know, work from home is a paradigm shift. So we had a similar paradigm shift with bring your own device to the company, right? So it happened 15 years ago where people were able to bring their phones and connect to corporate networks. They were bringing their own laptops. So this actually changed IT requirements in companies. So we see a similar paradigm shift these days that people need to be supported to work from diverse locations. And as a cybersecurity professionals, we see some trends. Like one of the trends is the frequency of new account creation. That's often a security risk because people make mistakes around it. So it's this is a dangerous event. Second big trend that we see around working from home is that this is a big societal change that is changing focus and attention of people, which makes it more possible for people to be tricked by various sophisticated phishing attacks. So, and this is providing a lots of work for cybersecurity professionals to protect the workforce that is working from home.
Before we get to our next question with Mikhail, just a reminder that you can see the full conference agenda for CyberSec and AI Connected at cybersecai.com. Don't worry if you can't attend live, all content from the day will be available afterwards for all delegates. Make sure to visit our booking page to see rates for group bookings, where we currently offer 3-for-2 ticket access and also have special savings for academics. That address again, cybersecai.com. A lot of the discussion around data and privacy is very theoretical, but these are topics that are increasingly being featured in the public sphere, in newspapers, mainstream media, television. How much more educated do you think people are in this area now? And what can be done to keep people further informed about their data and privacy rights?
That's a very good question, because I'm a big believer that the most vulnerable cybersecurity / privacy vector are people. The most of the attacks and damage comes through people. So with better cybersecurity and internet privacy hygiene, knowledge and education, we would be all safer. So I think that the level of awareness in the society is actually very limited. And you know, this is for us a growth area. So what we are doing in Avast is we are really believing that this whole historical position in cybersecurity, that where cybersecurity is a security through obscurity, has gone. So we truly believe that we need to support internet users through more transparency and more explainability, that we shall be building tools and systems and platforms that would provide users with statistics, explanations, data that are explaining how their privacy is compromised, what is the impact of compromising their privacy, what is it that they can do to limit their private data disclosure, and most importantly, to help the users to predict the privacy implication as a function of their intended behavior. So we really believe that, you know, the technology can help the users to get better informed and more aware about possible privacy and security risks.
And then just looking back, this is the second year we've run CyberSec and AI Connected. I just wondered if you could take a chance to look back at 2019 for a moment. Obviously, it was a physical conference, but what were the things you saw and heard that changed your thinking or opened up new ideas for you and made it a worthwhile event?
For me, the most exciting takeaway from this first edition of the conference was how vibrant and diverse the community of scientists and cybersecurity professionals we were able to attract. Before, we actually didn't know how big and how exciting and how attractive this intellectual problem is. And the attendance validated that, you know, AI and cybersecurity is an important technological challenge and that many people are working on it and are contributing. So because of that, the coffee breaks were crowded and super exciting. Each of us have learned new ideas, new concepts. We made friends. And since then, we started to work together in a more connected fashion.
Okay.
From the technical contact perspective, right, I was completely taken by keynote by Alex Halderman, a professor at the University of Michigan, who explained how insecure the US election can be from the cybersecurity perspective. And to me, it's actually very exciting to hear that, because we know how easy is the problem to organize casting a ballot in the age of our complex AI-driven online lives. That was exciting.
I remember I thought that was a fantastic example of a way you can educate non-technical people too, seeing how easy it is to manipulate the election. And I think one of the things that's exciting for me at this year's event as a non-technical person, a non-specialist, is attendance of Garry Kasparov, who probably helped introduce me to the concept of AI when I read about his games against Deep Blue. And I think sometimes these kind of speakers are a fantastic way as well of bridging the gap with a non-specialist, if you like.
Exactly. This is very important for the previous question you've asked. How is it that we can make people more excited, more informed, and more responsible for how they act online?
Well, Mikhail, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today about CyberSec and AI Connected. We're very much looking forward to the event, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. And as much as you, I'm also looking forward to the meeting.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this preview of CyberSec and AI Connected. Remember, as a live online event, you can watch and engage from wherever you are in the world. And if you can't attend the whole event live on the 8th of October, or you can only make parts of it, all those who sign up will be able to access all conference content afterwards through our virtual library. Visit cybersecai.com and join the global AI and cybersecurity conversation. We hope to see you there.